Well.
Do what?
Said he probably needs the money.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that anything is possible before we serve a God of the impossible. Rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a glorious day to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, I pray that all you mothers out there had a blessed Mother's Day yesterday. Got to spend time with the family and just to experience God's goodness and give Him thanks for all that He has done. Thank you, mothers, as we said yesterday, and as every preacher probably says in their lifetime over and over to the mothers, we wouldn't be here without you. So, hallelujah. Well, Miss Gretchen, how are you doing this wonderful morning?
I'm doing well, very well. And I did have a blessed Mother's Day.
Amen. Mr. Miller, how's your morning so far?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, man. Got some rain coming in today, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Got some rain coming in here at 8, and again this afternoon a little bit and evening. So off and on all day. And I thought Heather said, let me see. Let me pull this up. Now, you may already know meteorologist Miller, but do we have a lot of rain coming in over the next few days, don't we?
No. Today and then after that, we're pretty good until Saturday, I think.
Oh, really?
Of course, by then, you know, you never know.
Well, it better change Saturday. Hallelujah. Yeah. It was showing pretty for Saturday. Then Heather did tell me something about...
Well, about 36 hours out is about all you can really depend on.
Is that what they teach you, experts?
Oh, yeah. That's what I've been taught over the years.
Yeah. If you were a weatherman,
mm-hmm.
like, would you wear a suit to do the weather?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or would you be like one of those get-ups kind of people like that?
No, I would wear... I would treat it right.
You would do it right.
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't have, like, the raincoat in the middle of the hurricane?
No, I wouldn't do any of that nonsense or try to, you know, stir people up or anything like that.
Have you seen those videos of, like, there's, like, people out in, like, a quote-unquote hurricane, and then he was, like, doing the weather, but then and acting like he's going to blow over, but then this old person just walks right past, like, no problem because it was kind of all fake?
Yeah, I've seen that kind of stuff.
So that's what you wouldn't get up.
No.
You would bring professionalism and seriousness back to the business.
I would, yeah.
Profession. I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand. Well, just a couple weeks left of school.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Winding down.
Our graduation is the 24th, I believe.
Saturday the 24th, yeah.
And then Grayson's, I know, the 23rd. I don't know when Brick's is. Do you know by chance?
I haven't heard, no.
I'd say it's probably the 23rd or somewhere around there as well. But I know our graduation here at Bethel Christian Academy is the 24th, celebrating two seniors?
Yes.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Two seniors. So coming to an end for the 24-25 school year, and then right before you know it, we'll be saying, well, welcome to the 25-26 school year.
Yep.
It flies by. Mm-hmm. Any big summer plans?
Going to California. Marry my son who's already been married.
To the same person.
Yeah. Gonna renew their
vows. Let me clarify this.
They're gonna renew their vows after 6 months.
Do you know I've noticed a lot of people doing that now. Like they're having like the little private ceremony then doing the real one later.
Yeah.
I've heard that actually quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
I'm not for sure.
Well, you know, I'm glad they did. I didn't, you know, want them to you know, do anything different, but it is it's a little strange to conduct a ceremony that's already been conducted.
Yeah, I've done that before. It is different. I just kind of like, okay, I guess we'll just do it like normal. Try to stick as normal as ever.
Going to Jedediah Smith National Park or State Park? I don't know. I think it's a national park.
No, I think it's a state park.
Okay.
I'll Google it.
Yeah. I like, you know what I
part
like?
Part of the Redwoods.
I like doing vow renewals.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more freedom in that. And, you know, if you mess up, they're not going to hate you forever because, well, they've already done their real ones. But it is kind of a little bit more freedom in there because you're not really, like, legally marrying them anymore. It's just kind of like a renewal. And I like doing those a lot. Those are quite a bit fun. But anyway,
I've never done one.
It is a state park.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the Redwoods. Jedediah Smith Redwoods State Park.
I like the name Jedediah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe he was a evangelist of some sort, as he explorer / evangelist. I believe.
Well, you know what else I like? Events. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of them going on here. May 15th through 17th, Youth Tent Revival over in Uniontown, Kentucky. Find Your Fire. And that's going to be an amazing 3 nights there. For more information, you can go to our app. This coming Saturday is Art in the Park. Fine arts and crafts there. Beginning at 9 o'clock a.m. in the park. We've got Teenager Night at my house that evening, starting at 4 o'clock. We'll be going for several hours, just hanging out, playing games, and excited for that. If it does rain and cancels out, we'll go to the gym or something. We'll find some way to do this, so there will be no canceling. But we're planning to do it outside of my house. It's going to be a great night there. Bethel 13, June the 13th. go ahead and mark your calendars for the next Bethel Ladies Meeting. Amen. And as I said, BCA graduation here, May the 24th. And then it's Labor Day in the spring, right? Or is it Memorial Day?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. I always get those confused. How can I remember those? What's a trick?
I don't know.
You know, like, I always remember time-wise, you spring forward, fall back. So that always helped me. But I don't know any trick to it. I always get these two confused. I've done it my whole life. Memorial Day in the spring. Remember spring, labor, and fall. I don't know. I'll figure out some way to remember this. Yeah. If there's any listener out there that you always have a saying that helps you remember which one's which, help me out here. I always confuse them. But that's right around the corner as well. I think that's the 26th. Monday the 26th is Memorial Day. So, all right. Well, we are in Mark. We are booking right along in Mark. And I think I heard Jason, you talking about, because I listened quite a bit when I was in Puerto Rico in the mornings, because a lot of times we were in the car.
Okay.
Miss Mandy Gordon said Memorial Day is May. M's.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. That's one I can remember. M&M. Like, I could say M&M in my head.
There you go.
I was listening in Puerto Rico to you guys in the mornings, and you had said that you had read Mark, and then you went back and read it again, and then you would, like, be in one spot, and then you start over just because you
could. Yeah.
So how long have you been in Mark?
I've been in Mark a long time.
Is there something about Mark you just like the way he writes or the way he...
Yeah, he just straight to the point. Yeah. I like that. You know, he doesn't really beat around the bush much.
Yeah.
And doesn't, you know, he, like I said, goes straight to the point, doesn't add a lot of extra detail, which kind of fits with most men.
Just kind of like immediately, suddenly he just goes here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got to figure out which verse we are.
Well, I mean, I start, you know, then I'll read something else. Or maybe I'm reading another book as well, that it'll drive me to another chapter or book in the Bible. Yeah. And then I come back to Mark, and I think, well, I can't remember exactly what was going on, so then I'll just go back a little further and kind of restart.
Then before you know it, you're back at John the Baptist. we're actually in chapter 3, verse 1. We had finished the whole talk on the Sabbath Friday. I did watch a series this weekend.
All right.
Well, it took me more than this weekend. I started it last week, but there's only 8 episodes, so I didn't get very far. I did watch the first season, though. I watched that, the biblical one, House of David.
Yeah.
I watched the first season,
mm-hmm.
and I give it about, out of a 10,
mm-hmm.
for biblical accuracy, I'd probably give it a 3. Okay. but for overall show, I must admit, I kind of enjoyed it. Like,
yeah, I enjoyed it. And I appreciate the fact that they said right up front, you know, hey, we're taking some creative licenses here.
Yeah. We are not endorsed by it or anything, but I do like the show. And I thought it was the one thing I did like about it, even though there was some biblical questions to it and, you know, some of the things I'm just like, I don't think that's even remotely biblical kind of. I won't say stuff on there in case somebody wants to watch. I won't ruin it. But But I do think it was helpful to kind of make you think a little bit about, like, for instance, Saul when he's going mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how that probably did affect the family in ways that the Bible really doesn't speak of the family. But when a king is going mad or a father's going mad like that and kind of cursed a little bit, then it does make you think about some things maybe that was happening behind the scenes and the power struggle. And gosh, there's one person there that I know it's just a show, but my heart almost had to get healing from just this anger that I was feeling towards this spouse. And then like the whole issue with the line, I don't know that they had to have just thought of that off the top of their head. I'd never heard of that in history whatsoever. So why he was so angry at the line, I won't say it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just never, I've never.
Yeah. There's no.
Yeah.
There's no biblical, you know, reason for that. But
yeah, the whole illegitimate son kind of thing, or how they portrayed it as.
Yeah.
Not, he wasn't really illegitimate.
No, I don't think so.
It was just how they betrayed it, kind of what made him more of an outcast.
Yeah.
I thought that was decently done. Like, I don't know if there's biblical value to it or not, but I think they handled it pretty well and kind of drew a good storyline. But overall, I thought it was a show like I liked.
Yeah.
And they do say, you know, we're not accurately presenting everything. Yeah. So, but
well, I mean, I don't think there was that much drama to the Goliath thing.
Yeah.
It was pretty straightforward. He just took the stones and killed him. And they made it to be a whole lot more of a struggle.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was.
They did.
Well, but I
they
get
had to do it for a climax.
Right. Yeah. You had to kind of create that drama.
He just walks on the field. He's by the rock. That
yeah.
It's not very. It's very anticlimactic at that point. You know, my hope is like the romance that's there, and like the love that's blooming.
Yeah.
I really don't think it happened like that.
No.
But it would have been cool if it did. That was pretty good.
That would be was between David and how do they say her name?
Don't say it Mikkel like we say it. It's like Mikkel or something.
But Saul's daughter,
But I'm enjoying it. I'm
I enjoyed it too.
I think season two's coming out. The biblical shows is what we talk about a little bit every once in a while just to, you know, maybe that my heart maybe's changing a little bit on this stuff now. Maybe I can try that other show again. I don't know if I can or not. To mess with David's story is one thing. To mess with Jesus is another.
I get that.
I don't know.
You know, I'm a little more protective of Jesus, of, you know, people portraying Jesus and things like that. But,
You know what one I would like to see?
What's that?
A really well done one on Paul. Like kind of going back before the road to Damascus encounter, and then whenever he gets blinded and God heals his eyes, and now he stays in Antioch, and kind of like, and then his travels.
Yeah.
That would be, Paul's got quite a bit in there too. That'd be a good one. But I'm excited to see, I know we get to Mark, but I'm excited on that one show, kind of just see the progressiveness of the life and like for certain things that for us are very big points in the Bible, like bringing the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistines, then dropping it off of Obed-Edom's and picking it back up and bringing it back the right way. That would be very exciting to kind of stuff see. And then, of course, there's a lot of drama in David's life.
Yes, there is.
And it is kind of cool to see how these players are kind of being – they're introduced and kind of getting in there, and they're weaving everybody in there. But I don't know. Everybody's always asking me about these kind of shows and if I ever watch them or not, and I usually don't, but I just decided I will watch this one in the evenings. And it was okay. It was okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right, chapter 3, verse 1. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus, said, to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grief, and at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Because they're still on the Sabbath. Like, we just got off of the Sabbath in the very... Because you remember, these didn't have original chapters. So this would have been probably one thought. And they were trying to catch him on the Sabbath already because his disciples were, was it plucking corn?
Yeah.
And plucking heads of grain. And they're like, hey, they can't do that on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, do you remember David when he ate the showbread? He was hungry and he was desperate. And it was like Jesus was saying that, stop being so legalistic. And he said, they're hungry. And how can they rest and enjoy the Sabbath if they're starving? And that's basically what he was alluding to. And the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And then they go into, now they're still watching him, though, on the Sabbath. And this guy's like had this withered hand, and they're watching him to pounce. It's like a lion or a tiger or whatever, kind of hiding in the bush, just waiting to pounce.
Seeking waiting who for, he may devour.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not scared of it. He looks at this man and he says, hey, is the Sabbath to do good or is it to do harm? You're hurting. And how can you have rest and enjoy the Lord's presence with your withered hand like this? So Jesus has him stretch out his hand, and when he stretched out his hand, it was made whole. And the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians and said, let's get him. We're going to destroy him now. I think it's a lot more of the, Jesus is not dishonoring the Sabbath. He's not saying the Sabbath is no more existing, guys. He's just saying, you know, along these lines, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill it? Kind of going back to, if your donkey is on the side of the road hurt on a Sabbath, wouldn't you help it? Like, and if you would help a donkey or feed a starving animal, why should we not heal the withered hand? And you ever notice a lot of miracles, though? And I'm interested in what y'all think about this. Is not every single time, I get that, but a lot of the times we see miracles taking place, it took action.
Mm-hmm. He asked them to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had taught on the leopards, but there's only one leopard that went back, and that one leopard was the only one that was made whole.
I think so.
And that's kind of what the scripture seems to be saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, a lot of times we hear this language like, well, we don't have anything to do in this. It's all, but it's like the Lord's almost, it's almost like a faith thing. Would you call it a faith thing, or how would you see it?
I think so. Faith and receiving.
Yeah.
You know, it's an action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at that scripture. I can't remember where it's located, where it says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. I think he just enjoys that, you know. He enjoys us.
Our interaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need it, but he loves it, you know, that fellowship. And I guess in much the same way that a parent, a lot of times they know what their kids need before they ask, you know, but it's nice to hear them ask so that you can, you know, grant the request and you know, that kind of interaction, you know.
Yeah.
And instead of just doing it for them, you know, you have that kind of that dialogue and just that interaction that takes place. Yeah. I think the Lord loves that.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't really see it as is like they're earning it. I think it's just it's a faith action. I do like what you're talking about, like the Lord's engaging them in it. I just notice, you know, I've heard some preachers say, like, you know, it's a prophetic gesture or something like that. I don't know if I'd always go there. I think sometimes there is shadows of what's being done. For example, like the one with the issue of the blood, she touched the hem of his garment,
mm-hmm.
and those hems were the tassels, which represented the word of God and the promises of God. Like, I know there's shadows in some of it, but a lot of this, I think, is just a faith thing. Like, you know, Roger one time tells his story about after he had his heart attack, and the Lord just kind of said, hey, just take off around the sanctuary. That's what he felt in prayer.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And he just took off, and he said the more he ran, the better he felt.
Yeah.
But by the time he was done, he was running.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a faith thing there. He wasn't earning his healing. It was just like, and out of obedience and gratitude and faith in his heart, he heard the Lord say it, and he just took off. And I think those are faith moments, and they're moments that we're engaged in.
I remember I didn't have quite as much faith as he did.
Right. I have to admit the same.
Yeah.
Did you?
And that's not good, I know, but I just, to be honest.
But did it build your faith afterwards?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I think those are the moments that even the Lord sees
what remember,
we need.
Yeah, I remember thinking, I'm not sure this is a good idea, Brother Roger. Yeah. But, you know, but I guess that's always the case, you know. Whenever, you know, people step out of faith, there's going to be people that don't understand it.
Yeah.
People like me.
Well, I think he does some things like this to build our faith as well. Because you remember, yeah. There were several times Jesus said, I'm not doing this to ask, because I need faith.
Well, he says, stretch forth your hand. Do you think if the guy said, I don't think, I can't.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have been healed?
No, because I don't think he would have faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he wouldn't have been operating in obedience.
If he said, I can't, my hand's withered.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think the healing comes.
And I think that with the woman that, with the issue of blood, I mean, she really worked at it to get to Jesus, you know.
It was
And I think sometimes it takes that, you know, and I don't know why. Sometimes it seems, I've seen where it just was a simple
mm-hmm.
act, you know, and then I've seen times when it's, you know, you had to really push through,
yeah.
just like she did. And even Zacchaeus, you know, he wasn't seeking a healing, but he was, well, in a spiritual sense, I guess you would say, but he had to climb a tree, you know, to get to Jesus. So,
well, you know, it's like, I think it shows great faith.
Uh-huh.
Like we talked about Hannah yesterday mm-hmm. in the prayer. And you know, mothering and women of prayer,
mm-hmm.
everything around her was telling she was going to be barren. But she was believing God for a mm-hmm. child. And she went to a place of deep intercession and prayer mm-hmm. and faith.
To the one she knew that could only
yeah.
answer that prayer.
And mm-hmm. even through the mockery that Eli was kind of giving her a little bit, she mm-hmm. stayed the course and she stayed in faith. And we see men and women of God throughout the Bible that had to stay there in a position of faith and a posture of faith, and they kind of had to endure. They had to stay persistent. They had to work through the trials. Zacchaeus was another one. Zacchaeus is a wee little man, and he climbed a sycamore tree. He was not going to let Jesus pass by him,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus went to his house. And sometimes there is activity on our end where we have to pursue the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like one of the things, the anemic gospel that we preach so much today is like, well, he just does everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and that's grace, is that it just, he's just doing it for us. And in reality, I see a total different scripture. Like, you know, like what we, there's action on our part. He'll help us, but there's action.
I remember a sermon Brother Ron used to preach and about Zacchaeus. And he was, you know, I think it was something like, what'll drive you up a tree?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's talk about maybe taking a little liberty there. He said, you know, here was Zacchaeus, you know, a tax collector, and he probably visited around different people in the area, you know, maybe come to the family where the guy had been, you know, was the maniac, you know, and that was in the cemetery, you know, mm-hmm. And then he was, you know, Jesus touched him and he was healed, and the family was telling about the difference made in their dad, and, you know, just the raising the son of the woman of Nun, was that where she was from? But anyway, you know, him hearing all those stories, and then, you know, he had to see this man Jesus, you know, and he was a wee little man, so he had
Absolutely.
To climb up a tree to see him.
Absolutely.
And it drove him up a tree, you know.
And I mean, let me clarify one thing. I'm not talking about the gospel in the sense of like salvation, like we're, mm-hmm. we don't earn our salvation.
Right.
That's by work.
Mm-hmm.
That's by faith. But
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about is these pursuits of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
these pursuits of holiness. That God gives us grace and gives us an empowerment.
Pursuing the need.
Yeah, but it's we do have to stand in faith on things.
Mm-hmm.
And all the facts may be telling you one thing, but we're going to stand on truth, and we're going to stand fighting for truth, and we're going to stand in faith. And but I feel like sometimes it's like we almost preach this message or news that, hey, get saved and everything's just, God's just going to do it all for you now. And God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And mm-hmm. that's one thing I think is is really good for us to kind of like see the men that have set such a good example in women in the Old Testament of their faith and their pursuit of Him, and then carrying that on into people like Paul. And you know, one of my favorite stories is really Peter. Like in all reality, to see where Peter was, to see where Peter got. But by the time Peter died, you know, you got to remember he was afraid of a little girl warming her hands at the campfire and denied Jesus. And then several years later, he's put me upside down on the cross because I'm not even worthy to be crucified like him. I mean, you see mm-hmm. the growth and the persistence and the endurance and the resilience and the faith. But and that was a journey for Peter. Like I love Peter because I think I can relate to Peter so much, because you think once you have that upper room encounter and like the fire of God falls on you, tongues of fire, you preach two sermons, 7,000 people get saved, you think you'd be on it. But then Peter's still making these mistakes, like kind of being hypocritical with the Gentiles, and mm-hmm. Paul calls him out. He's still doing things that's not always the greatest decision to make, yet you see the Lord's grace and mercy on his life, but yet Peter's always having to take those steps forward. And Peter had to get out of the boat and walk in faith. And this isn't about earning our salvation by works, but obedience, and the obedience to the word of God. And if he tells you to stretch out your hand, stretching out your hand. If he tells you to go left, you go left. If he tells you to go right, you go right. If he tells you to lay this down, lay it down. Being a living sacrifice. And, you know, I think there's a lot there that we could learn from. And mm-hmm.
victory comes with obedience, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Well, that was, I don't really want to start another scripture. That'd be a good place to stop. Mark 3, verse 7. 3, verse 7 is where we will start tomorrow. I'll highlight that.
I do like this, what John Wesley said about verse 5, when it said something about when Jesus was angry. Is that it? And he said, angry at the sin, grieved at the sinner, mm-hmm. the true standard of Christian anger.
Yeah.
So,
because that is what it says. Mm-hmm. Looked at them with anger, but mm-hmm. then grieved at their hardness of heart.
Yeah.
I read a chapter in a book. It was comparing and contrasting Jesus's compassion with his anger. Boy, it was good. I made some notes.
Do you remember which book it was?
Yep. Gentle and Lowly. I've been reading it a lot.
Oh, yeah, you said that. You mm-hmm. said you didn't read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going to start.
Basically, he was saying that because Jesus was compassionate, that is, his anger came out of his compassion. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of made that connection in a way I never really thought of, but it was good. It was really good.
There's a book I was listening to somebody teach during the weekend on a podcast last Friday when I was mowing some by the lake. And it really got my ears open, and it's one of those things I really want to start, but I know I'm kind of deep diving into Revelation right now too, so it's like, how much can you study without getting confused? But
listen to your podcast on 1.3 speed. It helps.
It helps. All right.
Unless you're listening to Pastor Aaron, then I would not advise that.
True story. but they kept on talking about this book, and it's more of a scholarly book, so it's probably a little mm-hmm. bit bigger. I have to find it.
Yeah.
But it was about the different sacrifices they made and the shadows of what they really were.
Right.
And I guess, like, you know, they were taking deep dives into even the difference between the Passover and the Day of Atonement,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And it was very interesting. Like,
yeah.
I was kind of like wowed a little bit. Like, man, how do you not see this? And I never saw it before, so that's kind of like, I'm kind of interested. My attention's been really sparked into that, and it seemed very interesting to me. And the Old Testament's really appealing to me at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
I love it.
I mean, it's not that I don't read it, but mm-hmm. it's just like it's really grabbing me at the moment, and kind of what the shadow is and what it's mm-hmm. speaking of. And because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And I feel like for so long I've been in the New Testament. I feel like what I really want to do is go to Isaiah. I've been feeling this call to the book of Isaiah for a couple years now, and I just haven't gone. So maybe I'll start doing that in the background as I'm teaching Revelation. But Yeah. Amen. Here in a minute, I'm going to get the names all in there for the drawing for the Chick-fil-A card, yeah. And we'll do that after the break. So I'll get those in during the break. Monday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who was sent to Jerusalem to discuss with the elders the question of not being saved unless circumcised after the manner of Moses? Who was sent to Jerusalem to discuss with the elders the question of not being saved unless circumcised after the manner of Moses? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, they came in last week and together. You think she'll share with him?
You ever get chicken noodle soup from Chick-fil-A? Sometimes my wife does. Sometimes.
Oh. Really good.
I'm sure it is.
Their mac and cheese is very good.
I don't usually order soup at restaurants. Especially fast food restaurants.
Yes.
Except for maybe Wendy's chili. I do like Wendy's chili.
We're completely ignoring Jason. yeah.
You don't like Wendy's chili? And I put hot sauce in it. Oh, that's good. Get some French fries to go with it.
Oh my. People are chiming in with their favorite Chick-fil-A things now. They like the but it's okay, you won't like this one. It's the kale crunch salad. That thing is good.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever ordered a salad
like
from
the
a fast
Southwest.
Food
I like the Southwest salad.
Well, this one is like not a full salad, it's like a side you can order. And it's a very you should if you like that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. This morning I'm in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So what I'm going to focus on is the first portion of this, but you can't not read all the way to where it talks about, you know, Jesus' sacrifice there. It's just so powerful. His obedience there, even to the point of death on a cross. But here, whenever it's talking about, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort, he's wanting them, he's setting this up and saying, if you have any participation in the Spirit, if you are truly my brethren, if you are someone who claims the title of a Christian, a follower of Christ, then this is what you need to pay attention to right now. Having the same mind, and this translation is how it says it, of the same mind, the same love, being in full accord and of one mind is the main point here. And I think the Lord has really been speaking to me personally a lot about that. And as I read scripture, it just keeps coming up of the power and the importance of, or the necessity of unity. And then it goes on to talk about the dangers of selfish ambition, the dangers of being conceited and not operating in humility. So in this translation, again, it says the full accord. And so I kind of looked into that in the Strong's, and the definition of full accord, just the English definition, is complete agreement or harmony, particularly between individuals, ideas, or actions, implies a state of unity where everyone involved is in agreement and there are no dissenting opinions or conflicts. And so I kind of thought that would be awesome if we achieved that, but I kind of thought that that was extreme for having no conflicts, no differing opinions. So I looked into the Strong. So again, that full accord, that was not in the Strong's. That was just this translation, their English definition, the English definition for that word that they chose. But when you go to the Strong's, the wording of it in the Greek translated to English is the same, you may be minded. So you minded the same, and basically meaning sharing the same mindset. So having the same mindset, I definitely feel, is a little bit different than never having a differing opinion. Because I think that there can be different opinions, but we can still have the same mindset and come into agreement with what the Lord is speaking. And so I found that interesting, because I think that wording is important there. To have the same mindset is more important than always agreeing, having the same opinions on everything. But also whenever it talked about, so it talked about being in full accord and of one mind, it was worded in the Greek also that to be united in soul. And that basically meaning sharing the same identity, the proper identity in Christ. And I think that's a big thing when coming to unity, with the unity that it's talking about, because if we share the same mindset and we
all
have
right,
the,
we are
the,
back
the
here
accurate
on this
identity,
beautiful morning in the neighborhood,
we are displaying
May the 12th,
and
2025,
being defined by that
chances of rain throughout
Christ,
the day,
then there will
hit
be true
or miss
unity
here and there.
Even though there's
like
differing,
possible
maybe differing opinions, actually,
well.
There may be
well, we have
a lot of differences among the ones
up and ready.
In
we
the
do
body
have
of Christ,
this
but if we have
so
those two things,
2 weeks
I
is
think
starting.
Those are things that we
Ms.
can focus on,
Condor
is having the same mindset, and it ties
Paul
together because standing
are
and knowing
ready?
Our true identity in Christ
yes,
will give us that
all
mind
all right,
of Christ.
Here we go. This is for the Chick-fil-A
the
gift card for the last 2 weeks.
And
who's
then
it going to be?
Fix, you know,
it's looking
you,
like,
you
oh,
hear that
oh, oh,
if you get the,
oh, she
the vertical right,
she
you'll
is.
Get the horizontal
Miss
right.
Miss Mary Vincent
so
got
if
that,
get that proper identity.
She
proper,
got it. Congratulations, Miss Mary.
Is,
I've been wanting to talk to him anyways. I haven't got
totally
to talk to him since I was
back.
In one
day.
Hope
that's the beauty of
Vincent
staying in the Word,
better.
Staying in relationship with Him, and just the whole
yeah, did they?
Journey
excellent.
Of our
I
walk
I have been
with
thinking about them.
But
actually,
I
was been thinking about them all weekend.
Kind of focus
and
on
so
with the unity that
Mary and
Paul
brother,
is talking about here,
amen.
And then of course, staying away from the tendencies of selfish
well, I hope
ambition.
I hope they're taking
anytime
me with
that something it wants to isolate. We want to be isolated from the body,
no, I can't say that
or. We notice pride rising or offense is the biggest one, and discord, that should be major red flags. I feel like there's even red flags before we get to the point of
let's
offense
here.
Between one another, but we really, I believe, need to check our heart, because I don't think we realize.
All right.
Like, I think we just tolerate
Hannah,
the disunity and the discord
morning,
and the offense way more than we should in the body of Christ. And there's so much scripture.
We don't have a guest today,
talking
correct?
About the importance of unity, the you know the instructions for why we have we need unity to accomplish God's will and let His kingdom.
I'm
come.
Hungry,
so
I'm not going to talk about food this morning.
But yes, I think if
like
the
I
takeaways
this
of how
on my way
to
up here,
achieve that unity,
I was up
definitely
here thinking,
being.
What I wouldn't give
having that same
bacon, egg, and
Christ mindset
at this point.
Which comes also right from spending time together fellowship with one another honestly kind of goes back to Pastor Aaron's message on the things that we need to be focusing on.
I don't
want to
hear it. I'm starving.
Fellowship being in our word, being in our prayer time, if we will focus on those things, then we will come into the same mindset, and we also will be, as the Greek translated to English, united in soul. And that also reminds me of the scripture of our hearts being knitted together.
So how about that kingdom corner?
All is one. So that's it.
You're answering, asking questions already. So ask it again. I don't know anything about it, so I don't know if it's scriptural or not. but I
just came
it doesn't
across
sound
it.
Good.
I'm with Miss Gretchen.
I just came across it because, and it kind of threw me for a loop myself. Well, yeah.
What it means.
Explain that. Okay. Moses, when
in his glorified body. Yeah, when I first saw it, when I first, you know, came across that, I thought, what in the world? But as it kind of went along, I saw more what he was talking about.
A new body.
Right. Well, it works.
Yeah.
I don't like the title, Permanent Humanity.
No.
Mm-hmm. So you believe that he is, in like the scriptures say, he's at the right, seated at the right hand of the Father forever making intercession. You feel like that's in his glorified body. Yeah.
I thought she was going to say me, myself, and I.
In our glorified bodies, do you think we will? Right.
Form.
Yeah.
I don't know why just the word humanity makes you think about all the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not just a body.
Like me, myself, and I.
But he's showing the picture of like eternal humanity.
Something that we cannot really envision.
Yeah.
In our little finite mind.
Right, yeah.
Amen. Amen. What do you know about the doctrine of the permanent humanity of Jesus? Is this scriptural? Firing right into it. What do you know about the doctrine of the permanent humanity of Jesus? Is
why don't you give your text number out so they can? No, I just tease. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah.
I actually think it is a scriptural.
I honestly have never really thought about will we be able to see the Father. I've never really pondered that one at all. So
yeah, I think you have to unpack it the right way. All right.
I just always felt so like
if,
it was.
If you
we'll
you can take
Jesus
this in a dangerous place where it's like this permanent humanity of Jesus, basically, he is a permanent flesh or like a fleshly type thing, or and I want to be careful not to go there, but I don't think that Jesus ever lost his form or will ever lose his form of a human. And I think you have to understand the doctrine of humans. Mm-hmm. And now there's going to be probably some doctrines that call it the permanent humanity of
Most
Jesus
people
that I would not
agree
with.
But
if you put it in the context of the hypostatic
the garden,
union,
right.
then I think I would agree with the hypostatic union idea. And I believe that's a very scriptural precedent that he's fully God and fully man. The hypostatic union is just basically the union that he is fully man and fully God at the same time.
Did he look like he looked?
Now, do I think he picks up glory when he goes back to the heaven? Absolutely.
That's a good question.
I think
or
there's a
he
glory
the
he has in heaven
he
that he does not have on the earth.
Now,
for example, the Mount of Transfiguration, they see him in his full glory and they can barely look upon him, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes, Moses had a taste
about,
of the glory.
When Mary
Jesus had the fullness
didn't
of it.
Recognize him in the garden.
Neither did they on
the road
to Emmaus.
There will be a day when we don't need a son because he will be our light. That means he's going to be shining.
Do you think he looks different, his glorified body, or he looked
he
veiled himself?
What this doctrine is basically saying is that he will always be human. Like he is going to rule on the throne forevermore as in the flesh, like in the body, in his glorified body. It will be a glorified one, and he will be most glorified.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever loses his body. And that's what the truest sense of this doctrine, I think, is teaching, which is the hypostatic union, is basically he will always have a body. And I think Jesus will. I think we will see Jesus in his body, in his glorified body.
And so whereas yeah. And there is a glory, like even Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians talks about this, is where he was very wealthy, but it came impoverished. And in his poverty, he's making us who are impoverished wealthy. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's not talking about money. It's talking about by the Spirit. He gave up divinity, took on humanity. Hebrews says for a season he was lower than mm-hmm. the angels. So I don't want to say he's not like rising back to the mm-hmm. to where he's at in glory, like but that. This doctrine is really about just almost, having a body yeah. for mm-hmm. eternity. The human part of him never it didn't die at his right. at mm-hmm. his death. He will always be fully mm-hmm. God and fully man. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man, and he will sit on the throne forevermore as that. If that makes sense, it's not saying he's in limitations to the flesh. He's not saying he's going to always battle. Like, we're going to be in flesh for the rest of our eternity as well. It's just going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a glorified flesh, I guess. Because the flesh does not always mean sinful nature. It could mean just body and humanity. So from what I understand from this doctrine, it's really just going along with hypostatic union. And I hope to the hypostatic mm-hmm. union firmly. So yeah. I don't know if that mm-hmm. helps or hurts, but... It sounds bad. Like if you, yeah. it not sounds like that, it's a bad doctrine.
If he was like
and I'm
more,
sure there's people.
I don't know how to say this.
Well, I think there's people that probably take it into realms that's like, not healthy,
you know,
and probably heresitical.
And like
his hair, was more blow dried.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
hair,
but
I feel like he probably even before the crucifixion looked a little bit raggedy. I mean,
Caucasian.
I don't think he ever loses his body. Or is he,
Fabio.
Oh my gosh.
Fabio.
Fabio.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it just maybe not raggedy. I don't know. I feel like the way that he lived yeah. was so lowly.
Me, myself,
you know,
I don't know.
He probably wasn't super well kept all the time. Could have been.
Yeah.
But
like, I know that's like, I think. Jesus is the, I don't know. I mean, he's a spirit. He don't have a form. He's bigger than a form. There's nothing to contain him. But Jesus is the express deity of the Father. And so, yeah. But I think that's yeah. what made him so special is that he became humanity. And he lived as a human to die as a human for the example of us humans and also for the sacrifice and atonement of us humans. And he died for us as a human. And that's the hypostatic union, is that he's fully God and fully man. And I think those will be true forever, myself. I don't think he dropped his humanity when he left the earth. I actually think he kept it with him. And we'll see him sitting on the throne in a glorified body. Yeah. Yeah. This is where our finite minds are coming into play. And Jason, I have thought about that question often. Can we see the Father? But Jesus, when Philip asked to see the Father, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so it's like Jesus was saying to Philip, you don't need any other thing. If you've got me and you see me, you see who he is. Because he is the expressed deity, the fullness of the deity of the Father. And so, I don't know. But that's okay. kind of, I have thought about that question quite a bit. And I think we want, I think
we
sometimes
had a text
we sit there
in,
and think of
I heard this description
three
once
sitting
and thought
on a throne,
that it could be good.
And they're each on their own
in
throne.
In the glory, the presence of the Trinity sounds like
and
electricity.
And even when Jesus is at the right hand of the Father,
it's
basically saying,
the Father and
you know,
Holy
that's
Spirit
basically
are spirit
saying he's seated
in the
right hand
of
the Father,
Jesus
that he's
in
at
and out and throughout.
Leadership. He's in authority. He's in power at the right hand. Whoever sat at the right hand of the king was those who was in power.
The Father and Holy Spirit are spirits basically in the form of Jesus passes in and out
he's done
and throughout
with what
the
he
Trinity.
Came to earth to do. And now he sits in glory. So, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm sure there's a lot of people disagree with me, and I would love to actually, honestly, I would love to 270-230-6337. I would love this because I would love to see, I would love to hear other ways people see.
we'll have to hang on to it until heaven, after like how,
because I just, the Father does not have a, he is beyond a form. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I think that you're right. But I think he has a radiance about him. Like, Moses, if Moses was able to glow to where the people wouldn't want to look upon him, how much more will the Son of God be able to glow?
I think this might be saying, like, the glory of God. Father and Holy Spirit, and I think just what we said earlier, like, absolutely. Never take form. That Jesus is the only
the
one
pre-incarnation,
we see form.
Yep, yep, the Christophany. Yeah. Now, that's one thing I've always thought, too, though, did in the Christophanies that he looked like he will look. I've always wondered that. I couldn't tell you that for sure.
Yep.
On the earth. Yeah. I don't. See, I think he would have to.
I didn't have my headphones on earlier. Did we get a winner for the first one? Okay.
But it's almost like.
Who was that? You know, was it Peter? Okay. Paul, okay. That would have been one of those times I wanted to answer. Yeah. Give
even though they were disciples
twice while
for
I was on
years.
The air. Well, I was had you on the phone because I knew it was one of the two. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think he's able to veil himself to an extent, and I think there probably is a difference in the way he looks, but it's like
I know that one.
Their hearts have to be opened. Even those disciples, I think their hearts were being opened, and their hearts were burning. And when their hearts burned within them is when they started to understand the gospel and understand the scriptures. But now Mary, I wonder sometimes if it was like, he was dressed like the gardener.
Right, food.
Which, if you really look at it, we think of like a landscaper. Right, or he wasn't like that. A gardener didn't look too far away from a high priest. And so I think Jesus was in his high priestly robes.
I heard
at
him
that point.
On the radio.
But also think, imagine if you're married. Remember Joseph and Nicodemus, they put him in pretty quickly because they was trying to get him in the tomb.
Another angel has appeared.
And
I should have been more vocal about it.
They probably expected
well,
him
that time
to still
baby, maybe those chicken livers
like
over there
be decaying.
So oh, she made me a breakfast
probably,
croissant.
They
no,
probably still expecting
was,
him to
I
be
thought
a
it was from a restaurant. She even puts it in the
wounds.
Makes it look
well,
like.
Well, I know she gave it to me in one of those
in the
styrofoam containers.
And so I think
and
when
I
he
said,
came
did you make these or back?
Because
it looked like
it came from
I thought she's going to punch me for a second.
I think he was just made whole. And they
well, I told her she needs to make
these. Yes, I made these.
Put you on the list. Not to be too
you'll never get them again.
Well, I just looked at the box. You know, it looked like it came from
the
store.
The only evidence that we had is maybe the scars on his hands and the hole in the side, which I think those are unique scars. I think those are special ones. I don't know how to. I'm not trying to get a theological persuasion built around that, whether we'll have scars, whether we won't.
I wonder if males
but
would.
But we know for sure he was able to, somehow Thomas was able to do it.
Radio down here.
But with Mary, I always thought it was more along the lines. He looked radically different because he was healed. He was whole. He no longer
there
had
used to
the
be a commercial on one of
the
radio station, and there's
the blood
on the way to Cloverport.
I don't know.
But that was a little gas station restaurant, and they said its power's out of the way.
He became
I'm
the 6 foot
you
one.
Play a longer song.
Hair was blowing. What's that one
asking
guy that's always on those romance novels that was like always he come back with his muscles and the hair flowing in the wind and 6 foot one.
He was just talking about
I did, yeah.
During the break.
Well, the same person that gave you that sandwich gave me those chicken livers. For those of you who can't see, Miss Betty.
There's a lot of talk of just
Pastor
how.
What was it over there?
Maybe on the earth. Like,
oh, it is a croissant.
Scholars
that's
have
what she made me one time.
Like,
very good.
Like a lot.
Very
some
good.
Scholars go even
she
far to
wraps
say
it all
he,
up, you know, nice, like it's from
very
a restaurant or something.
An attractive person. Like an extremely attractive person. And
she wraps it all up fancy like, or puts it in a styrofoam container. Once Jason even had asked like if a it was bought or home.
I don't. I'm never going to go that far. I don't. Think
but not in a
it.
Bad way.
No, she made me those. She made me those chicken livers, and they came in that big styrofoam box, like a to-go box.
I don't think he was comely or.
And I just was. I was. I wasn't expecting it like that. I was expecting like in a Tupperware container or something. And I said, did you make these or did you buy these?
I don't think so.
And
I think he is.
I thought Miss Bay was going to punch me for 1 month.
Coming back in Revelation, he's coming back with fire.
She said, yes, I made these myself.
And some markings up there. So it's like.
And I've never. She's never made anything for me since then.
Which might add to, he may look a little bit different, but I don't think he looked drastically different.
Well, actually, I had a question. Well, go ahead and do that one.
Human forever.
He's wanting to eat.
No, it's somebody texted a question. Let me see if I can find it.
I do
here.
Think he will reign. Back to that original doctrine before we go to break. Outside of the heresies and the people that probably push it into unhealthy manners, just the original thing of what people are trying to say.
Yeah, people say that God put
temptation
in front of them to test them.
That's the hypostatic union.
But the scriptures say in James that he does not tempt anyone. What are your thoughts on that?
While he's finishing his bite there, I think when I hear that, I think the word needs
read
to be
that last part
added
again.
In there allowed, mm-hmm. like that he allows it to happen, not causes it to happen. Because
yes.
we know the enemy is always working overtime, trying to
that's
tempt
the thing about
and trying
that last part.
To manipulate
passes
things.
In and, through
and then also just
I
people, just we are, our hearts are deceitfully wicked, so we
that's where the,
tempt each
I think
other.
Sometimes that's where we
and put things in front of each, put stumbling
know.
Blocks in front of each other.
My,
that's
my
biblical.
Theology mind's on right it, now.
So we know that
like,
we can put a stumbling
I like
block
the idea,
in front of another. So I feel like it would be more of an allowing, but and based
I,
on the story
I have to
of
be careful
because
I like.
Allowing things
I don't
to happen.
Be that guy's like. I, don't
well, I did hear someone say God either causes or allows.
The only thing I don't
want to
do is let Jesus phase in and out as Jesus remains.
That happens.
Yeah.
Like he will always remain. And so that's where like there was one popular preacher.
I think he uses every situation in our life.
He had a dream
up
to heaven and like there was this big ball of energy
closer to him
and
gives us every opportunity to
come to him. And outstepped the son. The son stepped in and then outside. Outstepped. I think that's heresy.
Guidance.
I don't think there's ever. There's never a point where all
restoring.
Three is not fully exist in one.
Just,
and so,
whatever the need might be.
But yeah, if we said that he put the temptation in front of us, then that would contradict scripture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't.
Read, she says, read James 1:14.
Which is unique to think about, like the Father. The Father's the one that gets
right
me,
now.
Like the Spirit, of, the Holy Spirit
might start
to me
back
is like.
In
he's
but every man is
Christ
tempted when he is drawn
us.
Away
it's the
of his own
of
lust
that
and enticed.
Start at verse 13.
Let no man say
well,
when he
break.
Is tempted, I am tempted
like
of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
We did, Miss Jerry.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished
Peter,
bringeth forth death.
Peter, no, it's Paul and Barnabas. Got me confused here.
Which that's just the
all
opposite
right, Monday
of everything
question.
That God does. Jesus was sent here for.
Monday question number two, sponsored by Higdaland Surveying. Who was king of Judah when Jeroboam was king of Israel? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back. Oh my gosh, look at this. Thank
there you.
You
go.
Thank you. Man, thank you.
Right. A trial. Yeah.
I think they do work together though in the span of like our lifetime, because if God knows in advance what entices us and what decisions that we're going to make, he knows the future. So if he knows that we are being tempted by a thing, I think he could put something in our path as we're like, the reason we're going this way is because we've been tempted and lured in this direction. So because we're going in this direction, he's going to put something in front of us. Like, I think that kind of, he can work it together like that. Versus punishment. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, we just had a scriptural manifestation in here. You ask and you shall receive. Oh my gosh, this is so delicious. Well, I can let y'all just talk. That's fine. I'm going to enjoy my sandwich. This is amazing. This is...
Well, it kind of reminds me, too.
Seek,
like,
and you will find.
God isn't sending any.
Knock,
hell,
and it will be opened
like,
unto
not,
you.
We're already on our way to hell.
Hallelujah.
We
it's
are
like Jason
on the
one
path
time talked about chicken livers.
He didn't put us on that you, path.
They manifested.
But we always want, like, the natural thing is to want to shift the blame to that. But I think it's the same with this conversation. Is we were already on our way being tempted, and sometimes
this
he puts things in our path, but it's never to just harm us, or it's never to harm us. It's
bacon,
to,
egg, and cheese.
You know, even the punishment, the wrath that he pours out, is to turn hearts towards him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it even has a toothpick in the napkin.
Did we get a?
It's winter. Amazing.
Oh, that's. mm-hmm. It's probably neither, but closer to the second one. Yeah. And I think that's, in most cases, I believe
so
that's even, he allows that
either.
As well. Not
disrespect her like that.
Sins that. I think he allows it. You know, like if you feel like your friends have turned their back
Sarah
on you or,
in your sermon.
You know, they've, someone's falsely accused you
no,
or something
ahead, you're
like
fine.
That.
You're fine. Go ahead.
I think that's another allowance of God. But he's kind of allowing you to walk through that. You know, are you going to be faithful? Or, you know, are you going to, as Job's wife said, curse God and die?
Because I mean, if he caused that, like the mistreating of another person, like he didn't cause that person to mistreat another person,
right. Yeah.
Because then that would also be
yeah.
violating this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aaron's tempting me right now. Does it have mayo on it? Mayo. Mayonnaise. Does it have...
All right. I think a lot of us sometimes,
yep.
That verse is Isaiah 45:7. I was just looking up the interlinear for evil, and it is like, it has a lot of definitions and a lot of that we think of, but chaos,
I think we've
and calamity,
all probably
and
said this
some
a
of
time,
that is,
not meaning what we're
is
saying.
There too.
I think a lot of times when we talked about like God tempting, I think we're talking about the test, and I think God does put us through tests every once in a while, allow us for our faith to be tested. I think that's different than temptation. Temptation, in its truest sense, in a biblical sense, does have this temptation
when,
to commit.
When you look at the verse,
sin,
it says,
I'm tempted you
I
into
formed
this.
The light and created
you're
and
tempted
create darkness.
By your
I
desires
make peace
for whether
and
it's
evil.
Lustfulness, greed,
Lord,
vanity, gossip, slandering,
things.
Discord, disunity. So. Whatever it looks like, there's a temptation to go commit evil. God doesn't place that in
wait
you.
For Aaron to finish his food.
But to allow you to walk through a test.
Well, I was just still looking, and I looked over.
Trial. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's how
you never did answer the question, does it have mayonnaise on it?
We're not thinking about, well, God's put this temptation in me for go watch pornography, or God's put this temptation in me to go cheat on my wife, or to... Or to lie on my taxes, like God's putting this.
C.S. Lewis said that evil is just good that's been
your
perverted.
Lustful desires. That's the enemy.
Yeah. Well, along
that's
that
different
line
than
of
what I think
too,
we mean a lot. I think we're meaning
if
like
evil
God's
is just
put this test
the
before.
Rebellion against what is good.
He's put this path before me.
Then I don't see
and,
how
and
someone could
a
say that there's not
temptation.
Choice. Like we have no choice. We have no free will, because if. If evil is something that has to be chosen, then we have to choose it. We couldn't just be programmed to choose it.
I think there's a difference,
but there's
though.
So many
that
believe,
clear
or there's
line
people
does have to
that
be
believe
drawn
him,
between
so many that
testing
God
for
chose
us to be
okay.
developed and
Satan,
matured
I'm gonna create
by the
him,
fire,
and he, I want him to choose
temptation to sin.
This evil, so that this can set up this
there,
path for this person, and then
solid
end up
fine
to
line
this.
Has to be drawn that God will never tempt us to sin, but He does allow things in our life to be testing our faith and to be proving our faith, and that's patience, and that's what He's talking about. James, allow patience to have her perfect work, endurance, perseverance. That we will remain in faith. And I think sometimes that's kind of what we mean by testing, like in this temptation to have faith or not to have faith, to walk. But temptation is true sense that we got to fine line, draw that clear boundary that temptation is a temptation to sin. Testing of our faith is different.
She said no to John and no to Calvin.
I like Calvin.
Now, there is a Hebrew word, though, and I think this is where it's important to draw that boundary. Go ahead, sorry. No winner yet. We'll have to.
Yeah, I think it's
there
good.
There is a Hebrew word
a
for tempted
answer.
That's called nakah, or nakah,
no.
Probably.
No.
It's probably closer to that.
I think that scripture is clear.
It means
yeah.
to, yeah, it means to test, try, prove, tempt, assay. Put well, to the, proof,
the trying of our faith
test.
Worketh patience.
So the word so he's, temptation,
there's a goal
in
mind.
The Hebrew
it's not just
could
a, well,
mean
let's
just
see if he can get through this
to
or
try.
Not, you know?
But
yeah.
if you're ever going to say
there's always that goal in mind of making
evil,
us
that's not
a stronger
God.
Believer.
But if you're saying there's a temptation before me, or a trial before me, or a testing before me, I think the Lord has put people through the test.
Yeah. (clears throat) And there's some things that, you know, the trials are things that I'll never understand. And that's okay. I mean, you know, his ways are higher than ours. And so, and it's okay to tell God that, you know, hey, Lord, I don't understand why I'm walking through this. You know, just be honest with the Lord. Definitely don't fake it until you make it. I'm 50.
I think Job's a good example of it. This is so good. I think Job really is a good example. I have one bite left. I'll share it.
Yeah.
But because has Baal? No, Baal's not on that. But he said Baal. I said no, Baal's not in here. But because he went through a lot. And the Lord allowed him to be tested and tried.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I've felt that before.
Servant Job. You proved him yet? Here you go. Do it. And it's like the Lord's not doing any of that to actual Job, but he has allowed it to happen. Now, there is one peculiar verse, though. God does no evil. In him is no evil found. So a lot of people want to go to Isaiah when it says, you know, he created evil. What God creates is chaos sometimes. Like, and chaos comes because of sin. God allows that chaos to come in there. God does not create evil. And then we can get in this philosophical question. I don't think evil was ever created.
Kumbaya,
evil was chosen.
Probably.
Evil is the opposition to the word of God. Sin was not created. Sin was done. And I think we have to be careful of this. Like, we think that evil was created by the devil or something like that. The devil just walked in disobedience to the word of God in pride. That was in his rebellion and his disobedience. Evil itself is not created. And in Isaiah, I believe it is Isaiah when it says that, he's talking about the chaos. And at times he has sent chaos. God has. Whoops, I just.
I hope we get to ask
and
the
you
Lord.
Go to
I hope
Ahab,
we don't just know.
He sent the lying spirit.
Because that's
Ahab
one of the things
that
I think
God
I will enjoy most about heaven.
Like, he sent it to
it doesn't have necessarily
Ahab
have to be the Lord. It could be
to
anybody.
To lie to the prophets and
host,
to Ahab prophets.
To sit down and
him,
just explain some things to me.
That's a peculiar scripture.
I mean, I know heaven's
you know,
not
God
going to be anything like what we kind
of
envision it.
I don't think so,
but
it was a
seems like I would really enjoy that, just to sit down and be able to ask questions about things that I didn't understand or whatever, and hear, you know, it be explained to me.
The full revelation of it.
I'm hoping that the Lord will let Rich Mullins explain it to me.
And I heard
so we can sit down and talk
Hebrew
for a while.
Really well, talk about that. Like,
he will be barefoot.
That
all of us will be barefoot.
Isaiah, the word chaos and calamity.
He only was barefoot when he was
that.
On.
And that is
performed.
A result because he even says sin produces that.
And I don't know why he was.
And so
I didn't really jive with that. But. Yeah.
There's nothing evil about this sandwich. No.
Real quick, though, you ever think about doing a Bible study on Job?
I really did think you said Baal.
I'm not a big fan of Job.
Well, no,
to be honest with you. I mean, I like the individual, but the book, there's a lot of descriptive and dialogue type things and stuff like that. That. It just, I don't know. It's hard for me to keep on task whenever I'm reading it. You know, there's a lot of flowery speech, I guess.
But the
not like Paul or not like Mark. I mean,
like harder to read. But but I think it's one of the most interesting, though.
Yeah.
There's things like that too, like Revelation. For some reason, has always been hard for me to read.
I think we have a free choice in it.
Yeah.
Just as,
but I
just
want
as
to read it.
Lucifer, the Morning Star.
I want, so, like, so I want to read choice. It. It's just one of the harder ones, but it's so interesting.
He wasn't forced to choose evil; he chose to do it.
Yeah.
He chose to be in rebellion and pride.
And there's so much in there that ties into
both
of those, actually, that tie into the rest of Scripture, and hold a lot of significance. But
okay, all right. I'm sorry. Go ahead to the next question, there, Pastor. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where some of this double predestination stuff gets really deep. And I mean, I enjoy these conversations. And again, I like John Calvin. I like his teachings. I like what I like his book, Christian Religion, Institutes of the Christian Religion. Now, I've read all of it, absolutely not. But I like his thinking. I try to get Heather to name a kid after him for me. John Calvin Wilson.
I think polygamy thrive with it. Always. What's wrong?
I tried both. I like the name, but I like John Calvin. I mean, and do I agree with everything he said on predestination? Probably not. But a lot of what he wrote, I did agree on. And I loved what he said, and I thought he was a deep thinker. And he wrote in some deep thought, though, so you better read him slow and thoughtfully. I think that's
so
why
Jacob had two wives.
It would take years to actually read it sinful. Probably the way it deserves to be read.
I agree.
That's just
where
people's gone astray with double predestination.
Oh yeah,
and so, but I think that's a conversation for another day. Just to stay on this, because we get down that.
I remember
one of those things that God turned around.
Do you think we answered that question? Or
I remember.
Jason, or
oh yeah, I don't remember the context of it. But this guy had seven wives, but he didn't live with any of them.
I don't think God tempts you sin.
And
ever.
Somebody asked him a question
but
about
I do
it.
Think
he
God
said,
allows
"I know how
tests.
To marry them. Nobody knows how to live with
tests
them
because he allows some things
that
to
many
happen."
Wives.
So that we would be mature and developed. That's different than sin.
So I guess there's always
not in one mind and one accord with.
There's always no. I was talking about not one wife, but I'm talking about when you have multiples.
Yeah.
There's always problems every single instance.
And I guess you could say, if the end game is to sin, it's usually not from him. If the end game is to grow, our test to be matured and our faith to be mature and our faith to grow and us to be more like him, that's edification. And that's just proving our own hearts and exposing our own desires. And so.
Good thing he was wet rich.
You know, I was with that couple in Puerto Rico last week, and they were younger. I mean, they were just the woman couldn't have been much older.
Well,
than
like Solomon,
probably your age, I'd say. You know, just a few years older than me.
When was it I spoke?
And
2 weeks ago.
She's probably. I would say she's.
Yeah.
I would say
talking about transforming.
And she's probably
your mind
40s,
versus conforming.
And
you know. Instead of him transforming the minds of his wife or working with them, you know,
if not already,
he conformed to their.
I didn't go in there with answers.
Faiths.
I don't think I have answers for her or him, and honestly, I did not. And that people may disagree with me. And when I pray over people, I'm asking the Lord to guide me, and like you know, I'm trying to trust. I didn't get the overwhelming sense to
I'm
pray
starting
for
starting to regret what I
like,
said.
Like, I just didn't. I didn't go in there.
Oh, no. No one's texting me about
that. I looked at God and I said,
I just, I don't know why I laugh so much. When the app was on the loop, it's done this before when the weather was bad and it got stuck on me and Jacob Swift saying something. But this time it said, this listener said, I could probably quote word for word now.
And you are about to
Aaron said he asked the Holy Spirit to guide him when he's praying over someone. And Mr. Miller kept saying, over and over.
There was a piece in the room. And there was a piece for her. And then Deanna and Alonzo sing a song in Spanish. I don't know what it was.
And then the last time it did this,
Ghost
it did
fell,
that. It's just so funny.
And tears started to flow, and the healing of the Lord started
to
take place.
There was nothing about
the Lord descending in that room like a dove.
I was meaning.
And it was a beautiful moment.
Oh,
nobody,
no, don't get stuck on a loop.
Nobody
now.
Knows
That'd
how
really
to live
bad.
With multiple wives, is what I mean.
That'd be really bad to get stuck on a loop at that moment.
Trusting. Will we get to heaven?
Yeah,
sometimes I wonder.
That would be bad.
Will we get to heaven and be able to ask the Lord to an extent of, why did I have to do this?
And then Aaron just
said,
I don't know if you heard it or not, but. When I finished, I was alluding to the time because I thought I did pretty good on time, and I said I think I did better than Pastor Aaron. But it sounded like I was saying, "Don't y'all think I did a better job preaching than Pastor Aaron does?"
I knew what he was saying, but I thought the same thing.
So, funny. Apparently, I didn't even. My time wasn't that great either. But.
The book of your life.
I am.
Okay.
Someone asked, what about concubines? Yeah. Well, not if it's right. Okay, not if it's right or wrong. And this was okay. That sounded that sounded really bad.
Oh no, that's okay.
Good question. Thank you to who asked that question, because I think that's a really good question. I think that's a good
question. I'm glad I'm off the hook now.
Because I think we all
whoever that is.
But and I don't think we always mean that. I just think it's something that we unconsciously say, but we're thinking in our head like God's allowing this testing to come upon us.
I did see, I can't remember who it was. It was in Genesis. It was, maybe it was Lamech.
All right. Yesterday
think,
you mentioned
where it talks about him being evil, introducing evil, or something of that
I
nature. I can't remember
it,
the exact passage.
That's an,
but whoever that was, I think it was Lamech. He was the first recorded person to have multiple wives. Now, I think that's what that's referring to there.
I don't know if this is accurate, but wow, it said David had 10 concubines and Solomon had 300.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So look how that multiplied. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it said 300 or 700 wives and 300 concubines. But just look at how, like, I mean, obviously that was sinful to have the concubines. And look how it, like, multiplied in the next generation. Because it went from 10 to 300. That's crazy. Like, we have to crush what was done before us. It doesn't mean that we... He didn't have to walk in the same things that his dad did. But we have to crush it.
Oh, all right. Sorry. For anybody listening to the app, I restarted it, so it should be back to good. Yeah. Yesterday, you mentioned Sarah in your sermon, and that was not the Sarah who goes to church here. Everybody just kept looking at her as I was preaching against Sarah.
Yeah. I don't see that as sinful.
It was common practice,
and that's not
for
wise.
To be used for barren women, do you think it was a sinful practice?
Which thing?
Yes. Next question. It's just like incest. They made incest and stuff like that common, and they made polygamy common. Doesn't make it right. It was just a cultural thing that was common, but nowhere did was wrong. Yeah, I think that's what man did, but I don't think that was ever God's
slavery
plan for them. And I think it was sinful, and I think it was a cultural norm to hand over your handmaid. It did not make it right. David had concubines to not make it right. Like, all these things are very. These things happened, but
well, even kings
we see
in general,
God
that wasn't his plan. They wanted the kings, so I mean, and I think it's the same with slavery. Somebody
I don't think
said
it was right. I don't think
it said
it's God's
that
plan.
The concubines were used as slaves and abused,
and we saw the trouble that caused.
Yeah,
you see all these things. It never ended well. There was consequence, and there was problems for them. And.
Yeah.
That was Jason Miller's view, not that of the Box 2 Radio.
What kind of reminds me of, like, people who work in that industry now, like, for to make a living.
And I think some also were.
I mean, you saw how it went for the Mormons.
Almost like
and
a
the trouble that they
to create an atmosphere.
Really created for themselves.
Maybe they were.
But also the introduction into a lot of times whenever you practice polygamy, abuse,
engaging
sin,
in some of the things we would normally
these
think of.
All usually common practices that go right alongside of it because it's not.
But it was more of a almost like an ornament. I have all these
Solomon,
beautiful women
700
in my court.
Wives, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a busy Christmas.
True.
And
right.
But also you see how you saw how what was his downfall? Women. I mean, you see this over and over. Mm-hmm. Just because Scripture talks about them doing something never means it's okay. And you even saw how Hagar and Sarah, it really was hard. And I mean, it cost. Mm-hmm. Well, we can have. Yeah, absolutely. And it cost him. It cost him.
But it seems like, I mean, that was a widespread slavery.
I think that's
in
a
that
clear
sense
evidence. It just never
was
ends
so
well
common
for anybody
in all
they practiced
nations
what God did not.
So
create
it was something that was just so common in their day, and it was the norm.
And it is.
I've never really studied into it.
I
don't plan to either. Yeah.
We're in agreement. Look at that.
I don't think always.
Now, in our defense, it was storming and raining really bad here just a minute ago.
This person is just like looking into it and what they've found so far. So
now,
some were slaves.
Yeah. I think it would depend on the nation and even probably even depend on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine David or even Solomon being abusive or anything like that, you know, or having some sort of, right. But maybe the Assyrians or someone like that.
Yeah.
I could see some sort of wickedness going on there, but.
They said
Paul said more of a servant, because I mean women were more servant type anyway.
It don't take much. All right.
It does say though that sometimes they were required to provide heirs or increase the family's workforce.
I thought it was great. They're conditioned for it. Don't worry. Wrong.
I was reading I have a list of like prayers in the Bible, and the first
that's
one
an easy one too
was I think Abijah, and then
no multiple wives but concubines are completely
Abraham.
Fine.
And he's talking with the Lord, and he says something about the only heir he has is his. I can't remember if it says servant.
I mean, I think it's the same principle.
Eleazar,
it was a practice for kings a lot. It was for kings,
you know,
mostly.
Like right now, and he's one of. So, he's an heir, but where he came from was probably one of the servants, and so whether it was actually Abraham's seed or if it was, just one of the servants and maybe the highest ranking servant at that time. And so, you know, of course, then the Lord says, no, it's going to be
evil
from Sarah. And then, of course, Sarah messed it up.
Will you ask the trivia question again? We have a streak going here. I hate to mess it up.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Yeah. Solomon went, I think he had around 1,000 women, like, because his 700 wives and I think 300 concubines.
I know the answer to this one. I need. It's been a long time since we haven't answered them all. It's not that hard. You can look it up.
Even on Google.
Well, I think
you
there's
can
a
do
lot
it
to speak to that.
Don't Google it. That's
David had sinned.
Do not Google it.
And David had repented that sin, right, but his son
just find David and Solomon and David after that.
So, yeah. Yeah. Greg says way back then kings would send their daughters to marry other kings to form alliances. That was definitely
Christ
true.
Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are
God's
fallen from grace.
Humanity. And I don't think it either, but it just didn't end well. I would agree with you that when you would just
was
marry
that Galatians what
kings
now?
I mean, but you know, like
okay,
the Jewish people, they were kind of notorious for like
one,
selling their daughters
therefore
off for
in the liberty
goats,
wherewith Christ
like,
has made us
you know,
free, to be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
And,
behold, I Paul say unto you
all
that
these
if you be
happen,
circumcised,
just,
Christ shall profit you nothing.
I don't want to make them like
for I testify again to every man that
is
circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole to do the whole law.
Just because there's something in the Bible
Christ
doesn't
has become
mean
of no effect unto you.
Like,
whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace.
And humans, how mankind has always been notorious for making their own ways and all these kind of things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'd say that probably was. I mean, like, I never, concubines are not something we're familiar with today.
Not to Grace.
I think they're a little bit different than what we were, like, I think we have to be cautious to parallel them to, like, human trafficking and stuff, like, in that sense, because I don't know if that's the same
thing. Argument
that
Paul and Barnabas was trying to
get settled,
you know.
I think a lot of times concubines went willingly into service because it got them into a place of security, safety, and taken care of.
I didn't realize Barnabas went with Paul to Jerusalem. I knew it was either Peter or Paul, but
sometimes some of them are.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm sure some concubines were just taken from other nations, too, out of spoils of war and stuff. I think they're all probably there to an extent.
Mm-hmm. You were fallen from.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. It's almost for, and I'm not condoning it. Like again, we've talked about the sinfulness behind.
Just for context, Jeroboam was Solomon's
not
son.
To compare it to something that's not and make like because human trafficking in its true sense is foul and disgusting.
No, that's cheating. I don't mean by cheating.
Horrific.
I don't mean by googling.
And for the most part, that really probably wasn't what concubines exactly were.
But
at all,
unless I'm desperate.
And so that's why I want to make sure that we're not going to places with concubines. But yeah. I want a very, very
it's
clear
mess my plans up for the day.
I believe concubines are very sinful.
I was going to do a little mowing today.
There was probably women very abused, and there probably was horrific things that happened, which makes it horrific and gross. Yeah. And I'm not condoning that whatsoever.
Raining.
I would never condone concubines in the
Somebody's
slightest.
Been singing Let It Rain.
I think they were sinful, and I think they were anti-God. I mean, there was sexual perversion. I think there was all of that in there. Yeah, because really, if I'm not mistaken, and I would like somebody who, you know, Miss Gretchen, if you're smart on this kind of stuff,
yep.
Jason, you are too, and Hannah, you are too, so anybody that corrects me, I don't think a concubine was a I think a concubine was somebody that was...
Got excited.
He was playing the air drum.
Got excited.
If I'm... I think it was somebody who they wasn't married to, but they were considered part of their household, and they had sexual relations with them.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah.
It was not their.
I'm sad I missed the circle, the mom circle, because I had to take my baby out to the radio. I mean, he was being so loud in the mother's room, I had to take him out.
I was afraid I had committed a foul because,
I mean,
Kelly said,
well,
I don't want flowers.
So
I don't want anything.
I looked it up
just,
as y'all was talking.
You know, nothing. I mean, she didn't say it like that, but, you know. But Paisley wanted to get Kelly some flowers.
They had an inferior
so
rank. They were a secondary.
I found some on clearance at Walmart.
Because of her slave status.
They were not looking that great.
Their relationship was exclusive.
They were a little brown on the ends and everything. They were nearing the end of their life, but that's the way I got her. From Paisley, not from me. But I suspect
so
if anybody
so
saw
if
me at Walmart carrying those flowers around, they probably thought, boy,
yeah,
this
but I do think
cheap.
These people were actually well taken care of as well.
That's so funny.
They were marked down. I got my Mother's Day flowers marked down.
Yeah. Well, Ethan tried to tell me that Ezra, when he went in the flower shop, he picked out these flowers.
Yeah.
Actually, like, cooed at him or gooed, I don't know. I don't know if he's just making it up or not.
Did somebody answer the question?
Oh.
Dang.
Would it be wrong to tell what they answered? Okay, all right.
Concubines. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Who was king of Judah when Jeroboam was king of Israel? Who was king of Judah when Jeroboam was king of Israel? 270-257-2689. 20 minutes, Jason needs somebody to call in here. So if there's... Yeah, so he wants to keep the streak alive, so he needs somebody to call in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you read the quote I put in there in the newsletter from Elizabeth Elliot?
It was on Monday.
It was a mother is a missionary every day in her home.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Explain Galatians 5:4. Explain Galatians 5:4. All righty. If somebody gets over there, you can feel free to read it. I think you go back to verse 1, though. Can you start verse 1 and read 1 through 3, too, Miss Gretchen?
Athaliah.
5:4.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Worse.
And if you go to the end of chapter 4, he's talking about Hagar and Sarah, which in this regard, he's saying the free woman and the bondservant. And he's alluding to the bondservant woman as the law and Sarah as the free woman and as the new covenant kind of deal, the promise.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying if you go back to the law to save you, then the whole law is going to have to save you. And now you are indebted to the law.
Yeah, I think she was a good mom.
Christ and grace.
You know, because she was
so
definitely
says,
following
if you go
Jesus.
Back and you force people
but
to be circumcised,
at that moment,
you're going to have to go back and make them do the whole law.
That was a boneheaded move.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And Titus basically stands up and said, I'm not doing it. Which I'm with Titus. I mean, like.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Barnabas.
Oh, if you watch The Chosen, you know.
Now, the ESV, I like this. You are severed from Christ.
Yep.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
It covered it.
I remember her.
For through the Spirit,
I remember her
by faith, we
being
ourselves
one of the
eagerly
characters. Yeah.
She was
the
putting the pressure on the boys, and they were afraid to even go home because they're like, oh,
so
no, my mom's going to be on this again.
Yeah. And basically,
that I don't know.
In the context of the free woman, the bond servant, the bond woman. So. Don't go back.
I remember reading that she and Zebedee most likely helped finance the ministry of Jesus. But maybe she had ulterior motives.
Yeah.
He's really wanting this answer, somebody.
That does seem to be the problem.
The chosen covers all this.
Really?
It really, exactly what you're saying is what... They're funding it, and they're making the oil, olive oil business.
That you snuck in there and watched it.
Olive oil funding the ministry, and then she tries to get a little control.
Now.
As been in the ministry down through the years, we've seen
just
situations like that, and it usually causes some anger, in children when the mother tries to.
I love that song.
Jockey for positions,
There was a time yesterday. I gotta say,
special favors,
being in the drum
cage, something like that. It always causes some issues.
I'm a worshiper. Mm-hmm. I love to worship, but every once in a while, like you're playing and you're looking out, and you're not even really thinking about looking out, but you're looking out. And there was one time that I saw Jason over there, and he's like,
"Where's that at?"
I said, "Man." Even Jason's into it over there. He's like kind of like taking his hand and acting like he's hitting a cymbal or something like that.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken.
I saw that. He was.
Sorry, I keep
going. Yeah, I mean,
show.
And
when
the
men heard it, they
were
moved with indignation against the two brethren. Yeah.
They said in the show they painted it like
It was a strong morning yesterday.
Any time that they would bring up or in that
almost,
conversation, they would try to compare James and John to the other disciples.
There.
So like to Peter, for example,
amazing.
And be like,
"I'm not too big in the numbers, but I was like, because
whenever
looking at
you know Jesus said that thing,
so many
or said,
flowers,
you know,
so I was
you
really
are the
nervous.
Rock." They all got like
I took
in
a shot at it. So I was
like,
I wanted to count,
why
make
him?
Sure.
Like,
I
why
counted
would
the moms
him?
Only because I wanted to make sure that I did have enough flowers.
So the mom
for
got that way too. She got like furious that Jesus said that about him, and then
was,
you know she was wanted her sons to be.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's a different one. Thanks, Pastor Adam. All right, bye-bye.
John's mom.
John's mom.
It's possible. After this, Matthew. Was her name Salome or something like that?
That's the way to do it. You get them the day
salami.
After.
Salami.
It's a lot cheaper. Yeah.
I love salami.
Good.
I'm kind of listening
yep.
to John Wesley.
No, it was not the right one.
He's referring
the right
to
answer.
The when she asked about the right hand.
Yeah, but
to
you know,
his right hand. And Christ applies to the glory. Christ applies
yeah,
to the glories
that.
Of heaven. What his disciples were so
let me
stupid
tell
as to understand of
answer.
The glories of earth.
All right. I
but
do
he
want to
does
say
not
this,
deny
like,
that
one
this
of my
is,
favorite
is
quotes
of
the ones
give.
I read yesterday was the one from Billy Graham. I want to read
his
that again,
to give
if that's okay.
In the strictest
the influence of a mother
propriety.
Upon the lives of her
both
children
as God
cannot
and as
be
son
measured.
Of man. He also
and this
has
is the part
said,
I just love.
Asserts
they know
that he gives it to none but those
of,
for whom it is originally prepared, namely
honesty,
those who endure to the end in the faith.
I just love
that
how that really struck me, and it's they so, know and they absorb. Like
John
like we were finishing out
stupid.
Yesterday, but they're absorbing us, yeah. And especially to the mothers, they're absorbing what you're doing. They're absorbing your attitude. They're absorbing yeah. your temperance, your kindness, your responses. They absorb it.
Someone had a comment
like
on this.
It's getting in their DNA.
I liked
even
that
if
he put that in the sermon or put her in the sermon. For me, I know I'm
good
a good mom, but
there.
I do have bad mom
good old
moments.
Billy.
It made me reflect on whether there are times in my motherhood journey
I did
where
not
I'm
get to read
resembling
the newsletter.
Her
I,
character
I was,
and not Christ's character.
Absolutely. There's a book that I would love to buy. If I could have got the funds and got the time, I would have bought one for every mother there yesterday. It was called Missional Motherhood. And I've heard a lot of great things. I read some quotes from that book, and it was the quotes are amazing. I don't know. It's called Missional Motherhood. And I would like to read it, even though I'm not a mother. I need all the help I can get when I preach Mother Day sermons. So,
I don't know if I'm saying it right,
but
I get nervous on those.
Yeah.
I always thought.
Mm-hmm.
But now the mother I felt sorry for that I preached yesterday, she had no chance. And then I didn't feel sorry for her anymore whenever I realized what she did. Athaliah.
Did you notice that in the house
like,
of David? They
at first
pronounce
you feel sorry for her
because
her mom's Jezebel and her dad's Ahab.
Just simple names.
But then when she starts killing her own grandchildren, so. It's like, man, I can't feel sorry for you no more.
Me
like,
kill.
You
Me
know,
kill.
That's your choice. And but she was mm-hmm. she was an evil woman. She was an evil woman. But I think that shows you just how I mean, look at Jezebel. And in my opinion, she was as evil, if not more evil, than Jezebel. And so, and then I'm just yeah. curious. This is on
that's
air.
That's
this is,
I was the same way. I thought they're going to make him out to be some sort
of
mystic or, you know, something
when
like
I
magic.
Threw mother of James and John
yeah.
there.
Who?
Solomon.
Oh, Solomon.
Not Solomon. I'm sorry.
Samuel.
Yeah. Samuel, okay, because I'm like, I don't see Solomon there yet.
She was not a good mom at that moment.
I liked him too.
Yeah. That's right, I know.
Yeah. Well, I tried to say that yesterday, like, not every mother that I was talking to had bad
I don't know.
And I even said that.
So I don't think it's Mafreaky.
Did you say Mafreaky?
Like, I don't know what kind of mother she was other than this. The Bible don't speak.
I don't
it's something close
either.
To that. But
it's like
spoken of,
something
I guess, but, you know,
geeky. I don't know. I never
sons.
Knew. That monkey guy?
We are running out of time if you want to answer that question.
The trivia, you want?
Yeah, the trivia question.
Say it again.
One more time.
Yeah. See, my question was she really following Jesus? That's kind of what I'm curious about.
Actually, I don't know the book is found. I get those mixed up. I would think it would be in 2 Samuel. That's what I would think. Maybe
it's probably
Kings,
more,
maybe First Kings.
Probably
sometimes
more
the
than
people
one.
Lose financing is the people that control, yep, too.
But anyway.
Of the histories of Israel.
Rafiki.
Rafiki. There we go. My freaky.
My freaky. All
right. I did not.
Now I'm starting to wonder if I know the answer. Okay. All right. Oh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I know it's right in one area. But
I don't have the trivia questions.
Well, 24 of chapter 20 does say
it. Did you
and
have
when
it
the
right?
10 heard it.
I did not have it right.
We got another.
I had it wrong.
We got 2
I've
minutes.
Been
we have another call coming in.
And disunity caused
and
by
Jeroboam.
Verse 24.
Okay.
There's so many names that sound like Rehoboam, Jeroboam.
Okay. Matthew 20, verse 20.
So I did not have it right.
I didn't realize how weird my freaky really is.
Oh, my gosh.
Wrong? The same answer they've been giving?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think that.
So
I
can Jason run out? And he hasn't
no,
seen
I've
the paper.
No, I've seen the answer.
Oh,
now.
You did?
I would be wrong, yeah. Oh. I was wrong.
Well, so that can you give grace then for this one if it doesn't get answered?
No.
He said no.
I cannot. Yeah, it has no.
No mercy.
No mercy.
And there probably was that. Yeah.
Hey, the word is more valuable than ruby, so.
So forgive my stretch. And forgive my liberty.
I feel like I'm still right, though. I feel like the trivia answer is wrong.
If this all plays into why John was the one that he said, Mary, John, behold your mother.
Okay, there,
Mary
there it
son.
Is. That's a,
did
the
mom
scripture.
Bail out somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Because it looks like
hold
he
on.
Gives
now,
John the apostle the responsibility.
That talks about in the
Mary's
18th
mother.
Year. So he was king for a long time.
Mommy again after this.
All right.
That might give a clue.
Yeah. I mean, we never really heard.
I'm
going to
research
before,
this.
We only have 1 minute.
I'm going to research it right now. because I think.
What we do have is.
He's Googling.
Let me ask. Have all your people said Rehoboam as the answer? Okay. I think that's the answer. I think this answer is correct as well.
I don't know. This is just not going to think
oh.
in here for
all right,
you.
We got, all right.
It's a lot of liberty.
This is going to be the one.
I don't mean to stretch
it.
Too much.
It's got to be the one. Because it has to be. Because we have to get off of here.
It's not. It's 9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock.
As long as it's not 9:01, we'll be okay.
He's writing somebody's name yeah. in. So.
Oh, they got it then.
I think they got
I
it.
I think. Maybe.
All right.
Abijah.
I would say I'm sure that's not
Abijah.
His name.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't say it that way.
I think Abijah. I think Rehoboam is right too.
Rehoboam was king and then Jeroboam.
No, they were king at the same time. All right. Well, I'll give him that. He's right for sure, but I think Rehoboam is right too.
Yeah.
They weren't back to back because they were kings separately. Oh my
right. Well, this was.
I
figured a lot. Maybe if anybody had ever listened to Brother Ron's sure. sermon on the Salt Covenant, they would have got it because this is the.
All right,
and then it's also in now the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Nebat reigned Abijam.
Just...
Yeah, I was trying to make sure. Over like, Judah. I made sure I wanted to throw it in there. Like, we don't have much evidence how she was other than that. She could have been a fantastic mom, but in this moment, she was weak. And even Eve, like Eve, I'm sure was a good mom to Cain and Abel, but you know, she messed things up pretty good at times. And I think it's just an example that, hey, not everybody's going to be on their game every day. Now, your Jezebels and your how'd you say her name? Athaliah. Now, the Hebrew pronunciation I looked that up is Hataliah. That's how they say it. They say that's a Hebrew interpretation, but the way we say it in English is the Athaliah. And yes, very much so. Yeah. Yeah, me and Eliza was watching. Yeah, Mikael, that's how they say it. The budding romance. Eliza, well, I can't say. I don't know if I want to say it. Like, you know, people's going to watch it. I don't want to ruin it for them. But me and Eliza watched most of that together. And I was not a fan of how they had Solomon at first. But he came one of my favorite characters towards the end. But the end of it, he was so funny. Like, Solomon. No, I'm sorry. Samuel, there we go. I'm sorry. Samuel, sorry. I was thinking the Columbine star. Yeah, like, at first I didn't. Like, I was like, this guy is weird. And then, but he, I'm sorry. You know who reminded me of towards the end? This is who he reminded me of. I'm sorry. This is going to be bad, but Mafreaky from Lion King. Is that his name? The monkey? Whatever his name is. I don't know his name. He just carried a little staff and he was so funny at times. Yeah, the monkey one. He said. But it was like, it's just funny. Okay, here we go. Who was king of Judah when Jeroboam was king of Israel? 270-257-2689. We have 3 minutes and 14 seconds to answer this question. Jason really is getting desperate at this point. Jason's about to give you the book it's found in. Hold on. It's ringing. Box to radio. This is Aaron. How may I help you? It was not Rehoboam. That's, you're like the third or fourth person that's told me that. This is it's a different one. It's a different one. Yeah. That, well, of course, what Gretchen's got it is. All right. Thank you, Miss Jerry. Bye-bye. All right. I've got multiple answers, but they all been the same wrong one. This must be a tricky one. Because, I mean, everybody's telling me the same answer, but it's just, unfortunately, the wrong same answer. But, so Miss Gretchen's now like, Yeah. Okay, let's try this again.
Boxer Radio, this is Aaron. How may I help you?
It is not. Nope. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I did not have it right.
Another wrong same answer. There's still the wrong same answer. Everybody that has called in, that's been several now, it's been the same answer. It's just wrong. So... So you were wrong too, Jason? Your streak could still continue. All right, so we got 1 minute and 8 seconds left. I feel like I'm on the share-a-thon at this point. All right, we got 1 minute left. Can anybody get this? Who was king of Judah when Jeroboam was king of Israel? It could be. I know who was the first to give me the right answer then, if it was wrong. But I doubt. Yep. Yeah, Miss Gretchen's got scripture and everything. All right. Well, we've closed. 30 seconds. I do have 30 seconds. Jason. He's protesting. He's making an appeal. Yes, everybody's giving Ray a bone. Jason is protesting. He's appealing. All right, hold on a second.
Box the radio. Listen, Aaron, how may I help you? You got it. Who's this? Oh, Josh. Oh, I didn't recognize your voice. All right.
I'll get you in there.
Oh, my God.
All right. Thanks. All right. We're overtime, but Josh Milburn came to your rescue. Abijah. How do you say that, Miss Gretchen? Abijah. All right. Abijah. Abijah. Yeah. Josh Milburn got it right. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on the Box 2 Radio Network.